Hi, my name's Courtney Doctor, and I'm the Director of Women's Initiatives at the Gospel Coalition. My friends and I lovingly refer to the women we see once a year at TGCW as our camp friends, because the time we enjoy together at a conference feels just like a week at camp. And I want to encourage you to invite your camp friends, the people you want to sit beside as you listen to great teaching, worship, stay up late chatting about theology and life, and just have fun. And if you don't have camp friends to bring, come and meet some new ones. The final price increase is on May 8th. This is your last chance to save on your registration. Sign up at tgcw24.org. I really hope to see you there. That's tgcw24.org.
March 27. Exodus 38, John 17, Proverbs 14, Philippians 1. John chapter 17 is constantly cited in ecumenical circles. Jesus prays for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, to let the world know that you sent me, verses 20 through 23. The implication is that by supporting the ecumenical movement wholeheartedly, one is bringing to pass the fulfillment of Jesus' prayer. It is an important prayer, but note what else he prays for in this chapter. 1. Jesus prays that God will protect his first disciples from the evil one, especially now that he himself is being removed from the scene, verses 11 and 15. Perhaps he is especially thinking of the terrible blows to their faith as their master is crucified and buried. 2. Jesus prays that his disciples will be sanctified by the truth, understanding well that God's word is truth, and that the very purpose of his own sanctification, in other words, he sanctifies himself, sets himself apart for his Father's holy purposes by obeying his Father and going to the cross, is that they may be sanctified, verses 17 and 18. 3. Jesus prays that both these first disciples and those who will ultimately believe through their message will be in us, in other words, in the Father and the Son, so that the world may believe that you have sent me, verse 21. 4. Jesus declares he wants all those the Father has given him to be where he is, and finally to see his glory, the very glory the Father gave him because the Father loved him from before the creation of the world, verse 24. In addition, of course, Jesus prays that his disciples may all be one. It would be nice if all those who emphasize this petition emphasized the other petitions no less, or for that matter, that all those who emphasize, say, the second petition in the list above also emphasized the prayer for unity. The question to ask, however, is whether Jesus' prayers are answered. Does not Jesus elsewhere attest that he knows full well that the Father always hears him? Chapter 11, verse 42. Certainly the Father protected all of the earliest disciples, except, of course, for Judas Iscariot, whom even Jesus in his prayer acknowledges is doomed to destruction. Verse 12. The other petitions are likewise being answered, and will be finally answered at the consummation. This is true also of Jesus' prayer for unity. Real Christians attest a profound unity, a real unity, regardless of hierarchical structures and often in defiance of ecumenical initiatives, in answer to Jesus' prayer. This often attracts others to the gospel. We must hunger and strive for the fulfillment of all of Jesus' petitions.